Hi, I'm your host, Melody. Welcome to the Arizona Area Sponsorship Workshop. This workshop is hosted by the Arizona Area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to make sponsorship more accessible and less mysterious to all Al-Anon members. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona Area or Al-Anon as a whole. We'll open with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The suggested Al-Anon preamble to the 12 steps. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. I have asked Cindy to read a portion of the bookmark Sponsorship Working Together to Recover, M78.
Hi, my name is Cindy. Sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust. An opportunity for growth for both the sponsee and the sponsor, a benefit at any stage of recovery, a commitment to practice healthy communication not based on intimidation or demands, an agreement to recover and grow together, not to struggle in isolation, an opportunity for self-discovery, not a teacher-pupil relationship, an experience based on unconditional love, not shame or judgment, a spiritual relationship with no strings attached, a one-to-one relationship, not an exclusive club, a bond focused on Al-Anon's four primary ideas. We are powerless over the problem of alcoholism. We can turn our lives over to a power greater than ourselves. We need to change both our attitude and our actions. And we keep Al-Anon's... Where'd it go? We keep Al-Anon's gifts by sharing them with others.
Thank you, Cindy. Today we will be exploring being a sponsor, segment one, purpose and responsibilities of a sponsor. We will be looking at resources available to me, such as Cal, the example of my own sponsor. How much available time do I have to commit? What does a sponsor do, not do? Providing guidance versus giving advice. That first meeting, how do we decide if this might be a good match? Establishing a relationship, expressing expectations and boundaries, understanding the needs of a sponsee. We will now hear from our speakers, who will be Patrick, Christina, Beth, Tanya, Jean, and Sue. Now hear from our members on the topic. And our speakers tonight are Patrick, Christina, and Beth, in that order. So, Patrick, unmute yourself, and you are on.
Good evening. I'm Patrick. Well, when I first came in to Al-Anon, I was encouraged to get a sponsor. And that sounded kind of scary to me. I put it off, probably a good 6 months. And then I began to realize, it probably isn't that big of a deal. You're probably not going to be all up in my business. And what I have discovered is that it's my program. And I get to decide how much to share, how much not to share. And the more comfortable I got with sharing about what I was thinking and feeling, the more I became willing to share. So my first sponsor, because all we had were women, was a woman. And I was grateful for that. She told me that we'd have to make sure I found a guy to sponsor me by the time we got to the first step, or the fourth step. Wasn't really sure what that was all about, but I was like, all right, I can do that. Of course, we don't have any guys in the group, so how's that going to work? And they said, well, you can go to service meetings with us. And so that's what I did, and started taking people's names. It still took me a while. We were actually, my first sponsor and I, we were beginning to start the fourth step. And it just so happened that that was the same time as I started to talk to one of the guys at the assembly where we voted for officers. And we were just out there talking in the hallway. And I asked him, so what brought you through the doors of Al-Anon? And he told me. And I was just like, wow. It just really, I could so relate to him. And I thought, you know, I want what he has. And my first sponsor said, well, when you run into a person that you want what they have, ask them to be your sponsor. And so I did. And he was just like, I don't know. I've never done that before. And, done a sponsor, long distance. I'm not sure if I can do that. So he said, let me talk to my sponsor and pray about it and I'll get back to you. He did, and he became my sponsor. His sponsor said, yeah, people do it all the time. So since I have become a sponsor myself, I have come to really rely on those first two sponsors. I will still call my first sponsor every now and then if I need a woman's opinion on something. And sometimes she is just really good at the service manual. I love my service manual. I take it with me everywhere I go. And there is a special section in there about sponsoring and what sponsors need to be aware of. And so I use that as one of my resources. And I also use the pamphlets. The literature, I find there is so much helpful information in there that helps to guide me as I work with sponsees. One of the things that I needed to really look at was how much time do I have to be able to do justice, I guess is the word, for a sponsee. And I've taken on several different service positions, and I'm still finding that I have room for more sponsees. It's kind of interesting. My higher power guides me. I just listen to my higher power. When someone comes up to ask me, now it's like either I know I can or I know I can't. But if I can't, I'm more than happy to help them find a sponsor that can be a great sponsor for them. And they always seem to appreciate that. So one of the things that I realized was, as far as sponsoring, it's important for me to do a lot of listening. So I try to listen. And when I feel like I need to say something, I try to listen a little more. And then I listen some more. And what I find that as I listen, I learn. And so it's just as much a symbiotic relationship where I'm getting as much out of it as the sponsee gets out of it. They have a hard time understanding that at first. I did when I was a sponsee, and I'm still a sponsee. I still talk to my sponsors, but what I am finding is that the more that I sponsor, the more I understand. So if you're having a hard time understanding as a sponsee what, you know, how that works, then you might want to consider when you're ready to become a sponsor and to reach out and to give back. One of the things that I've also come to understand is that there is a big difference between giving advice and spiritual guidance. For me, I never want to tell a sponsee what they should do. It's their program. They need to figure that out for themselves. So many times, all I have to do is ask a pertinent question, and they're able to figure it out for themselves. Another way that I can do that is also by drawing on my own experience, strength, and hope. Possibly something my sponsor has shared with me that helped me. There's many different ways that I can do that without actually giving advice. Sometimes I'd really like to, but I know that's not going to be very effective. It never has been for me. When anyone's given me advice that I didn't ask for, usually I'm going to do it my way until I realize, well, maybe that would have been a better way to do it. But I do like to let people figure things out for themselves. I know that it sticks with me better when I do that. The one of the things that I find also is that when I first sat down with a sponsee, I like to get a good idea of what it is that they're looking for in a sponsor. Make sure that I am the person that is going to do them justice. And one of my sponsees one time said to me, well, if you're going to open a book, you know, and try to get me to do some studying and stuff, just forget it. And I was like, oh, you know, how am I going to do this? What I found was that all I did with that person was listen, a lot of listening, and then sharing my experience, strength, and hope with that person. My sponsor kept telling me, you really need to crack a book. But then as we went along, I found that she was actually beginning to develop a relationship with a power outside of herself. And how that happened, I was just dumbfounded. And she actually got to the place where she was willing to turn her will and her life over to a power greater than herself that wanted only what was best for her. I called my sponsor, and I shared that with him. And he goes, no, she's opened a book. And I was like, no, seriously, she didn't. He was like, no. She opened the book by listening to what you were saying. That really touched my heart. I was like, wow. And then as I thought about it, it was like, well, you know, when things first started out, that's all there was. We didn't have literature way back in the day. And it was all through sharing, experience, strength, and hope. So it started to really sink in, and it helped me realize that I can be flexible. I don't have to do every sponsee a certain way. I can work with them and try to meet their needs instead of me meeting my needs. Through that process, I also realized how relationships form. Each of my sponsees and my sponsors are great friends of mine now. I also discovered the importance of having a service sponsor. When I read that in the service manual, I was like, oh, I get to have two, you know, like a twofer. And so I asked a gentleman, and he became my sponsor, my service sponsor. He takes me through the traditions and the concepts. My personal sponsor takes me through the steps. And I just find that that really works very well. It gives me a well-rounded program, and I am learning to become the person I have always wanted to be. And I'll pass.
you, Patrick. That was great. Appreciate you sharing. We will now hear from Christina. Christina, could you please unmute yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good. I'm Christina, and I have been in program since July of 2011, and throughout that time I really resonated with the pamphlet that you read about having multiple sponsors, because I think I'm on my fourth one. So I am changing for various reasons, either, you know, different needs, or I change something about what I think I need, or various reasons. And I've been with my current sponsor for about four years now. So that's been good for me to kind of stay put for a little while. As far as how I came to be a sponsor, just sort of by strong encouragement, we'll just say. I had a conversation with my sponsor, and, you know, I'd come through all these crises and things were going really well, and I wasn't having those, you know, hair on fire moments as much anymore. And I started to get to this point where I was like, you know, not necessarily why do I come to Al-Anon, or why do I still come to Al-Anon, but I just wasn't feeling this connected to the program, and that bothered me a little bit. And so when I talked to my sponsor about that, she said, I think it's time for you to be a sponsor. And I said, oh, no, that certainly can't be true. And my first thought was, what do I have to offer? You know, so I was very hesitant about it, and I was very unsure, and really just didn't see what I could possibly give to anyone at that point. But she just told me to raise my hand, and God would direct the person to me that I was meant to work with. And it's funny, because I've had a few sponsees over the time that I've learned a lot over the time. It hasn't been that long since I've been sponsoring, but I've really learned a lot on how to set limits. I mean, it really kind of pointed out for me some of the gaps in my own program. You know, when you go to meetings and you're working your steps, you kind of get that sense that, oh, okay, all is well. And then when you're actually dealing with another person and their isms, a lot of mine that I thought I had dealt with really kind of came to the surface. So I got to work through that and some issues of my own with, like, control. I wanted to take control over somebody else's program, and that's not my role. So I made a lot of kind of newbie errors at first with trying to figure this out and how to be of service to the person. At one point, it was explained to me that a sponsor is really just the referee between that person, that sponsee, and their higher power. So maybe I'm a referee, or maybe I'm a translator. So I'm just that in between. I'm not their higher power. I don't want to be their higher power, and I certainly don't want them to try to put me in that role. So I try to watch for that as much as I can. But that referee role of where I'm just that translator between what their higher power is trying to say, and I give my experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully that's something that resonates with them. And I've had situations where I've had women I've sponsored that I haven't walked through what they're going through, and I didn't have any experience, strength, and hope to give, because it was nothing I'd ever experienced. So part of that is knowing who else in program. You know, you can reach out to other people. Part of the strength of the fellowship is that if I don't know or I've never experienced it, chances are, you know, you reach out. There's probably several people. So I was able to encourage her to kind of branch out to other people to kind of get what she needed, but I couldn't give her as far as with a particular experience. But today I try to keep it pretty simple. I'm there to work steps with that person. I'm not there to, you know, like Patrick was saying, I'm not their coach, I'm not their spiritual advisor, I'm not their life coach, therapist, anything like that. I'm their spiritual connection to their higher power via working the steps. And really just helping them find a spiritual solution to their problems in the way that I have. My sponsorship line can be a little demanding because we do a daily call. So that kind of limits how many people that I can sponsor at once, because there was one point I was sponsoring four people. And so four people calling me every day, and I had this idea that I have to talk to everyone every single day. And so that's two to four hours out of my workday that I was trying to do that. So I was creating a little bit of unmanageability for myself. So like I said, that experience really helped me learn boundaries for myself and being able to set limits and say, you know, I can't talk to you today, or let's talk at another time, instead of trying to be there and be all things to all people and making myself crazy. But since, you know, we do a daily call time, it does limit me a little bit in how many people I can sponsor at once. But usually what we do is once the person is, you know, we have a conversation about it after they've worked step five and they're beginning step six. So that's kind of when my transition happened, and I was encouraged to start sponsoring others. And all I do is encourage my sponsees to raise their hands. That initial fear, you know, when they get a sponsee, we walk through that, you know, to try to alleviate that what do I do? And it's like, you don't have to do anything. You're not there to solve this person's problems for them. You're just there to listen and offer a spiritual solution. And if you don't have the spiritual solution that they're looking for in that particular type of situation, then, you know, you just help guide them to who does. So for me, I work in the behavioral health field, so sometimes it is really careful for me not to put my personal or my professional training in there. So that's a boundary I have to remember, that I'm not a therapist in this capacity. I'm just somebody who's listening and offering my experience, strength, and hope if I have it, and offering, you know, spiritual solutions. And sometimes if I've got someone that's really kind of floundering in the program, my only response may be, can you go to a meeting today? Or can you go to a meeting tomorrow? When can you go to a meeting? When have you been to a meeting? So, you know, that may be the best thing that I have to offer that person, because, you know, in my particular line, we do ask that people go to meetings at least 3 times a week, and that they try to go to an open AA meeting. I think it's once a month. I haven't been, as you can tell, super good at that one because I can't remember off the top of my head when we're supposed to do that. But it's just basically to get that routine down, especially for a newcomer, to try to get into good habits of going to meetings on a regular basis. And I have run into problems where kind of a deal breaker for me is if that person's not going to meetings, I always tell them, it's kind of like me trying to tutor you in math when you don't go to math class. We don't speak the same language when you're not attending meetings. So I'll have conversations with them about what's going on, you know, what are the barriers for you to get to meetings, and kind of process through that. But eventually, if they're going to work the program, meetings are a part of that. And I can only, you know, ask them to do what I've done. And for me, my program consists of regular attendance in meetings, talking to my sponsor on a regular basis, working my steps. And I also, like Patrick, have a service sponsor that kind of helps me clarify some of that stuff, because I was finding my time with my sponsor was pretty limited. And it was, you know, the time that I was, the questions I had about sponsorship or being a sponsor were kind of eating up some of my step work time. So I ended up getting a service sponsor who I kind of go to for more of those questions and kind of guidance with that. And she has a very, very good sense of boundaries, so she's been able to kind of teach me that, you know, that technique that she uses just to kind of help people. Do you want to work this program or not? And if you do, I'm with you all the way. But if you don't, you know, you get to have kind of the same situation that brought you in here, but that's your choice. So for me, it is a hard decision. You know, I've only had to let one person go because they just weren't ready to work the program, and that was really hard, and I had to process that with my own, you know, both my sponsor and my service sponsor. But in the end, you know, somebody's either going to do it or they're not, and I need to be available to people that want to work this program and work steps. And for the person that just wants to kind of call me and tell me everything that he's doing and all the problems, you know, there's time for that, but then when there's no time for anything else and not attending meetings, to me, you know, like I say, it's like trying to tutor somebody who doesn't go to math. So one of the things I do with a new sponsee is I do sit down with them, and I like to do it face-to-face. I don't like to do it on the phone. So hopefully grab a cup of coffee and talk about who I am, kind of where I come from, a little bit about my Al-Anon background, not my whole story, but, you know, the snapshot. And then just talk about what their goals are and a little bit about them and if we're a good fit for each other. And then being upfront, you know, I'm going to expect you to call me every day. You know, call me every day and, you know, try to set a call time. I may or may not be able to talk to you every single day, but I'm going to try my best, you know, to talk to you several times a week. But the important thing is that that person is reaching out and making that effort. Because it's not my program, it's theirs. So at least to get them in the habit of making that accountability to somebody every day. And then, you know, the expectations of the meetings and really that whole conversation about if and when you ever decide you don't want to go to meetings anymore, I don't know if I can continue to sponsor you. That is, like I said, kind of a deal breaker. It's not like, oh, you missed two this week, you're done. But, you know, I was talking like, I had one person that I was talking to, and this was probably in March, and the last time she'd been to a meeting was November. And we just kept having the same conversation about it over and over. So it kind of got to the point where when you're ready, you know, come back. And it may be just the fact that this person wasn't ready. So we do have some of those conversations about expectations, but the biggest one is, hey, I'm going to ask you to call me every day. Is that something you think you can do or you want to do? And if they're like, heck no, well, you know, maybe that's not good. Because I had a girl who asked me to sponsor her, and she said, I'd like you to sponsor me, but she was working with something with the election, and this was back in 2016, and she said, I'm going to be really busy. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to have any days available until after the election. And this was like in August, and we're talking like November. So I said, well, why don't you call me back in November? Because right now, I could say I sponsor you, but you're not going to be able to do what I'm asking you to do. And so, you know, it's not just about that person being able to do, but it's about me working my program. And I can't work my program if you're not working with me. I work my program with my sponsees, and like Patrick said, it's extremely rewarding. But if, you know, if they're not ready or willing or even able to do it at this point, then I ask them to kind of wait on that or find somebody else who can, you know, just kind of table that for a while. I feel like I'm whipping through this. Patrick really did a really good job of covering everything, but, you know, mostly I think I don't know how to express it enough how much I've learned from being a sponsor. I mean, I hated the idea of it. I don't want to do it, please don't make me. But in doing it, and just in the short time that I've had the experience of it, whenever anybody tells you that the sponsor benefits just as much or maybe even more than the sponsee, believe them, because at least in my case, that is totally true. You know, it has enabled me to work my program in a much deeper and richer and more fulfilling way than even working my steps could. It's my favorite form of service. So I can't really think of anything else. I apologize. I had a late night at work today, so I didn't get home until 6:30, and I was just rushing around trying to get here because I wanted to do this very badly. So I will go ahead and pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina, for sharing with us tonight and for making the effort to be here. We really appreciate it. So next, we are going to hear from Beth. So Beth, please unmute yourself and go right ahead.
Okay, there we go. Sorry. Hi, I'm Dallas. When I first came in, I didn't have anybody available for over 9 months to ask to sponsor me. So by the time I was able to move to where there was people available who could share experience, strength, and hope, I thought I was ready to work my fourth step, and I was desperate to find a sponsor. And I eventually asked somebody who was like diametrically, I viewed her as being diametrically opposite of me in temperament, but she had this inner peace that just radiated that I desperately wanted. And she was actually willing, but she made me start over with the first step, even though I thought I was ready for four. And now I understand why. When I am asked to sponsor, I find the type of I very rarely attract brand new people. most of the time, the people I attract are people who have been in program for a while, but never had a sponsor before. So they know the language, they know, they're familiar with the literature, but they're starting to get a sense of something being missing from their program. I do have one sponsee that asked me to sponsor her within like 3 weeks of coming to Al-Anon. But she's the only one that was brand new. The rest have between 3 and 10 years. I do have one who's been in and out for 20 years. But I do have that initial conversation, especially with the ones that have been around for a while that I've been seeing for years at the meetings. You know, I don't have to tell them my story. They know it because they've been listening to me. I know some of their story because I've been listening to them. So it's a matter of establishing what do they want of a sponsor. And it differs tremendously from one to the next. And I find as a sponsor, I need to be receptive to and respectful of what it is the person wants to get out of the relationship. My resources, of course, are all the Cal. You know, I primarily use How Al-Anon Works, Paths to Recovery, and I love Reaching for Personal Freedom. My request at that first meeting is, are you going to be willing to spend a minimum of an hour a week working with me? You know, I don't require a daily phone call, but I do require a weekly check-in and preferably an hour or more to actually work. And that seems to work best for both me and whoever I'm working with. I have had experience with sponsoring a male. We were not really doing step work, and I would not meet with him face-to-face. I would only deal with him, other than in meetings, I would deal with him with telephone calls. And after he left Arizona, he still called me intermittently for about a year until he was able to finally find a male sponsor. But I just felt that it was safer to not be in a face-to-face situation with an opposite sex member. Since I'm retired, I have a lot of time to commit, and that helps. My main focus in life right now is Al-Anon and recovery. Now, I'm doing 5 meetings a week. I currently have 5 sponsees, 4 of which I am meeting with for a minimum of an hour a week. One is an hour and a half, one is around 2 hours, and 2 are 1 hour. And then the 5th one is intermittent phone calls, but basically she's just using me as a temporary sponsor until she goes back north and finds a new sponsor, because she fired her old sponsor just before, or after she got down here and realized that that situation wasn't going to work. So she asked me to be temporary. I do not tell my sponsees what to do. I will make recommendations, but it's usually along the lines of, you know, you seem to be struggling with this. There's a super good page, Encourage to Change, or in the ODAT. Why don't you try reading that page every day for at least a month? And that's usually as close as I get to a direct order. You know, I am much more likely to do things like, you sound like you're struggling with that step. I think maybe you should go back and read the step before again, and let's answer some of the, re-answer some of the questions. When we're doing, especially the first three steps, I want them to read everything in, on that step and how it works, and read and then answer the questions in Path to Recovery and answer the questions in the Reaching for Personal Freedom. And I expect them to write the answers and then read me their answers, and we will discuss them if I don't feel that they're complete or well thought out. I have one sponsee, my newbie, who really has a lot of difficulty communicating on paper. So we do spend a lot of time with me basically asking the same question in different ways so she can view it different ways, and she responds much better than writing. So, you know, we really talk more about the questions than my other sponsees do, who write better and spend the time to get fuller answers. You know, a lot of that first meeting, besides my expectation, is usually looking to see where do the schedules match. You know, I have certain meetings that I go to, and I have certain times set aside, and if we cannot find a spot that is mutually acceptable to both of us, then it won't work. You know, so that can be touch and go at times. Expressing expectations and boundaries. My sponsees have all been around me long enough in meetings. They know that I'm a pretty strong personality, and I'm not going to coast on anybody's nonsense. If they're making excuses, I'm going to tell them that they are, and I'm not going to let them get away with denial and you know, trying to pull the wool over their own eyes. I'm going to respond back as I see it. And if they can't accept that kind of honesty, then sooner or later they're going to fire me. And so far that hasn't happened. You know, but I am always super honored. You know, I come from a position of, when I came into the rooms, I was completely socially unacceptable. And to find myself at this point in my life actually attracting people who want me to sponsor them is still absolutely, it flabbergasts me. I do not understand why I'm attracting these people. What do they see in me that they like? You know, I'm honored. I'm pleased. This punch is a great big warm fuzzy, but I don't understand it. And, you know, the only thing I can think is that it's a higher power thing. And, you know, I have spent a couple of years with just the one sponsee, and then all of a sudden, this last year, I've been doing a lot of 11-step work and really focusing on 11-step. And all of a sudden, people are coming out of the woodwork saying, will you sponsor me? And so it's got to be my higher power working in my life that I have reached a point of spiritual growth myself that other people are looking at me and wanting what I've done. You know, okay, thank you, higher power. I don't know how to react to this, but I'll do the best I can. And it seems to work both for me and for the people I'm sponsoring. One of my sponsees is long distance year round. She lives in another city. And she's been around long enough that she's done her steps and really doesn't feel like redoing steps right now. But she's really interested in working traditions. And to me, that's such a blessing because I've been a tradition freak since I first came into program. So to be seriously working traditions, and she's already committed that when we're done with the traditions, she wants to continue in reaching and do the concepts. And I'm just thrilled to death to have somebody who wants to study the program in depth at that level, who wants to be working with me. It gives me a chance to further my knowledge of them. And especially with concept stuff, I keep finding myself going to the service manual. And like Patrick, I carry my service manual everywhere I go. So I think I've answered everything, and with that I will pass.
Thank you, Beth, and thanks for stepping up tonight. We really appreciate that. So I'm now going to turn this over to our moderator. Each of our three panelists will share no more than 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly brief shares. We will now hear from our members on the topic, and they are Tanya, Jean, and Sue, in that order. So, Tanya, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay. Hi, my name is Tanya, and you're ready for me to share, right, Melody? Okay, so first, I'd like to thank the area for giving me this opportunity to serve. I have been able to be on a few of the sponsorship workshops, and I have found them to be very helpful for me. I have gone away with a feeling of connectedness, and that's exciting for me that we're able to do this on Zoom and to be coming from all over the state of Arizona. And I know we have people from a couple other states here today, so I'm feeling really honored to be a part of this process. So as Melody shared, I'm going to share a little bit on segment one about sponsorship, but I thought I would just start by sharing a tiny bit about my sponsorship journey. When I came into the program and they said to me that I could get a sponsor, I thought that that was an awesome deal. I was very excited about it, and I got a sponsor right away who was a temporary sponsor, and I'm grateful that someone said to me, find a temporary sponsor. She and I worked together for just a few months before I got my first long-time sponsor. And I have had four long-term sponsors. So kind of like the reading that Debbie read just a little bit ago, sometimes things have changed. And in the past, one of the reasons I changed sponsors was because I moved out of state. And now the sponsor I've worked with currently for quite a long time doesn't live near me half of the year, and Zoom and Skype and the telephone make that possible. So there are, I think, probably as many ways to sponsor as there are relationships, And what I mean by that is I have two sponsors currently, which I had not heard about until recently, but I recently decided to get a service sponsor. And it has been, even in the short time I've had a service sponsor, it has evolved, and I'm learning a lot from my two sponsors. But with the people that I sponsor more than one person. Each of those relationships is different. So with that brief little history of my experience with sponsorship, I wanted to look at some of the questions that were listed under segment one. And the first one was to talk about resources available to us as sponsors and people who are being sponsored. I think that, of course, the literature is a resource that I use for myself in my recovery as a person being sponsored and as a sponsor. The meetings are an excellent resource for me. Also, my own sponsor can help me when I'm sponsoring someone else. But for me, the greatest resource is my higher power, because that relationship is available to me 24/7. And what I strive for is to remember to include that relationship in before I'm talking with someone as a sponsor or someone being sponsored. And at the beginning of that relationship and as that relationship continues, that has been my greatest resource. And the next question was, how much available time do I have to commit? For me, this really changes. My schedule is not a typical schedule where I work a job from a certain time to a certain time. My schedule is always changing, and so the time that I have available also changes. And so I'm really clear about that with people who ask me to be their sponsor, and also in my sponsorship relationship with my sponsor. And just by having open communication and consistent communication, that has worked out where we talk on an ongoing basis, whether that's week to week or month to month, about how that's going to look for us. For me, in my relationship, both as being sponsored and sponsoring someone, consistency is an important thing. And so what I do is I like to do what I call BAM-FAM, book a meeting from a meeting. So I may not meet with my sponsor or the person I'm sponsoring every Wednesday, for example, or maybe we do for a while and then it has to change. But either way, we set up our next meeting at the meeting we're at. And if we can't set it up then we text with each other and find out what's going to work for both of us. The next question was providing guidance versus giving advice. To me, this is a basic principle of our program in general. And as a sponsor, I think it said this in the reading that Debbie read from the bookmark, which I think is an excellent resource for us. It talked about listening. And as a sponsor, I think that is one of my primary things, is to be someone who can listen, and be non-judgmental and unconditionally loving. And when I think of the difference between giving guidance and versus giving advice, I think of my role as a sponsor is someone to share, like the reading said, equally with the other person, to share from my experience, strength, and hope. Sometimes I'm sharing the struggles that I've had and how I've overcome them. Sometimes I'm sharing the most recent reading that is helping me. Sometimes I'm sharing what my spiritual principle is that I'm working on currently. But mostly I feel like if I'm asked a question, my role is to take the question as I would for myself, to ask my higher power to share with the person in their relationship with their higher power, to remind them that their answers come from within them and in their conscious contact with their higher power. And that seems to be something that helps as someone who's sponsoring, but also I often hear things for myself, and I've heard my sponsor say this as well, that when I contact her with a challenge or a difficulty, she is also receiving. She says that to me, I think, almost every time I talk with her. And that is absolutely something that's true for me as well when I am sponsoring other people. The next question says, the first meeting, how do we decide if this might be a good match? When someone asks me if I will be their sponsor, I like to refer to the literature, and specifically our sponsorship bookmark and our sponsorship pamphlet. And I encourage that person to take a look at that pamphlet, or we could read it together, and ask them if it would work for them if we could discuss that, and also discuss what is it that you're looking for in a sponsor. And then I will share with them what works for me as a sponsor. There's a couple of things that I have found over time that work for me. One is, like I said, consistency. And that consistency can be defined between myself and the other person. It isn't the same in every sponsorship relationship that I have. The other thing is that person and I are both attending meetings. They don't have to be the same meeting. In other words, we don't have to attend the meetings together, but that we are each attending meetings on a regular basis. And those are two things that are kind of the basis for me that makes it work well for me. And I like to ask the other person what they're looking for. A lot of times they'll say to me, I don't know. Which of course is a totally valid response. And so typically I'll ask them if they'd like to take some time to talk with their higher power about it and ask some other people and see if they can come up with an idea of what might work for them. And then I say, how about if we meet together in a sponsorship relationship for a month, or maybe it's 2 months, whatever works for us, and check back in with each other. And I also like to check back in with my sponsees as time goes by. So I find that checking back in with each other after that first meeting, 30, 60 days, 90 days, helps us to say, okay, this is what's working. This is maybe something we'd like to change a little bit. But like the sponsorship bookmark, I think, refers to, we grow when we're in Al-Anon, and so our relationship may need to change. Maybe we change and we aren't in the sponsorship relationship anymore, but maybe the relationship changes and we continue in a different way. And then the last question there says, establishing a relationship, expressing expectations and boundaries, understanding the needs of a sponsee. So I talked about this a little bit. One of the sponsors I have right now says that for her, expressing boundaries is a physical thing, and that she likes to think of it in a spiritual nature. And I can't say I totally get it. That's why I have a sponsor, because I can keep talking to her about it. But what I'm learning is to have more conscious contact with my higher power when it comes to things like boundaries, expectations, and those kinds of things. I read recently in some of our conference-approved literature about boundaries, and what I took away from it is that when I have a boundary, it's not so much about trying to change or control the other person as it is about knowing what my limits are. And as in all service work, sponsorship is another service opportunity. And so I am going to have the opportunity to grow, and I am going to have the opportunity to learn more about expectations and boundaries. And so for me, that last question is really an ongoing growth experience or journey for me. I am continuing to be in connection with my sponsor, continuing to have communication with the people that I sponsor, and most of all, having conscious contact with my higher power and asking for guidance. How am I going to work this? What kind of boundary do I need to set? What are the limits that I have in this situation? As far as understanding the needs of a sponsee, to me, that is really about communication. Each sponsee, in my experience at this point, has different needs. Of course, sometimes there are similarities, but and of course there are similar tools that we're using. But for me, it's a process. It's something that I'm learning about as the journey goes along. So I think that's really all I have to share today. I'm excited to hear the other speakers and to hear what the questions are today. So I just want to go ahead and pass and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Tanya. That was really wonderful. It's good to see you today.
Thanks, Melody.
Sure. So we're going to move on to Jean. Jean, please unmute yourself.
Hi there. Sponsorship. Purpose and responsibilities of a sponsor. I reflect when I went into my first meeting, they suggested get a sponsor. So being so desperate, I did exactly what I was told. I listened, I paid attention, and I heard somebody that I thought was amazing. So it took me a few meetings to get the courage to speak to that person. I was literally shaking. And when I look at the question, the first meeting, how do we decide if this might be a good match? He has been the example. He has suggested that let's get together for coffee. So we did. He asked me a little bit about my story. He shared a little bit about his story. He shared a little bit about literature. It talks about resources available to me. So I said, so how does it work? What do you do? What do you need to do? What do we write? How do the steps go? Et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I first learned about literature. He made suggestions. One day at a time, path to recovery, courage to change. So that's how I got my start. And I have found that many people I work with are in the same boat. I'm not familiar with that we have so much literature. I wasn't that familiar with so much literature. One of my regular meetings I go to is a literature meeting, and I never forget the first time I walked in the room and I saw all that literature on the table and said, oh my God, there's a ton of stuff. There are so many resources. I'm still learning every day how much we have. And so how do we decide? I knew immediately when I met with my sponsor, I just felt so good. I have a service sponsor, and I'll never forget. I got in the service, and of course, I liked following instructions. And when I went on the guidelines, and the guideline says, if you want to do this position, you should get a service sponsor. So I said, okay, now who, what do I do? And it was funny. I thought of somebody, and a person who I was thinking of came to this meeting that I've never seen that person at that meeting ever. And when I said hello, and I paused, it was probably the weirdest communication I've ever had with anybody because it was baffling. And so I called that person the next morning and I said, you probably thought I was pretty weird last. And the person said, well, yeah, so I explained the story that I was looking for a service sponsor. You were on my mind, and then you appeared. And, well, God guides. And I have to remember part of this selection process, how do we decide, is bringing in my higher power. And my higher power spoke loud and clear. And I have to remember when somebody asks me, and I speak with them, because I'm amazed. I talked to my sponsor a couple of weeks ago, and I said, the diversity of people that I'm working with is amazing. What is God doing? He's helping them and he's helping me. You know, I have to remember I'm part of something greater and that I get to participate with others. And how much time do I commit to that participation? I meet some people twice a week. I meet some people once a week. I meet some people every second week. I get calls from a couple of sponsees on a regular basis. Others save it all up when we meet once a week. And I think when I look at principles of flexibility, patience, tolerance, it's a mutual, the mutuality in this relationship. I get to learn being a sponsor and working with the sponsor, the principle of mutuality. Together we make decisions. I get to learn to talk, reason things out, and part of that is how much time do I need? How much flexibility do I have? I remember early in the program, I called my sponsor and I says, I need to talk. Can we schedule a time next week? He says, well, we can talk in 20 minutes. I could not believe the demonstration of flexibility and love. And that is an example I want to pass on to others. It's amazing. It's beautiful. You know, one of the benefits of being a sponsor is and having a sponsor is that I get to learn to love unconditionally. I get to learn to trust somebody. So that availability of time is different for everybody because we establish different relationships. What does a sponsor do or not do? Again, I think when I look at relationship, the mutuality, how together we do things, I think one of the things I try to do the most is listen. I definitely try not to give advice. I definitely work, I try to focus in on their principles, focus in on their needs, steps, traditions, and concepts, and all available literature that we have. Some sponsees, we work with different literature. I know my sponsor, I work with different literature. So I want to make sure that I stick with the Cal approved. Make sure it's Al-Anon the best that I can. And reach out for help when I need help, when I'm working with somebody. And then, which leads to providing guidance versus giving advice. My sponsor says, you know, try to focus on sharing your experience, strength, and hope. I am reminded, what are my motives when I share my experience, strength, and hope with a sponsee? I think it can be very easy for me to give advice in a way of sharing experience, strength, and hope. So I need to look at myself. I have to be honest with myself. But there are moments where I am motivated to share my experience, strength, and hope because I have an aha moment. Then that is just, for me, so beautiful as part of that sharing in the relationship between sponsee and sponsor. Then I get so much out of it. And it is, I have seen tears, I've seen laughter, I've seen joy, and I've seen just such a spark within me when that happens. And that is, I'm not giving any advice. I'm just sharing my own growth and experience that I've gained from working with somebody else. That is such a beautiful, powerful thing for me. So when I look at guidance versus, probably the best thing I can do is listen. Pay attention. And share a part of me if I can. I'm reminded in this whole relationship that God is infinite. God brings us together for different reasons that I cannot imagine. And for that, I'm really, really grateful. I remember I was working with sponsee. I figured, God brought us together because I need to learn more about this.
Oh, I was totally wrong. Well, I don't know if I was wrong. Heck, I don't know at all. But it's amazing how much I learned from that. There's just so many things that happened during this relationship. Well, I could go on forever on this, but I think I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean. I really appreciated that share.
So we will now move on to Sue. Sue, please unmute yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sue. I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon, and I want to thank you guys for putting this together. This is just an amazing thing to be able to connect with our technology. I'm just so inspired, so thank you for that. You know, my journey in the sponsor-sponsee relationship has been interesting. You know, when I first started Al-Anon meetings, I kept hearing in those meetings about finding a sponsor and having that special one-on-one connection with someone. And because of my family disease of alcoholism, the last thing I wanted was somebody getting close to me, because I lived in isolation for so long, you know. And that kind of a relationship was actually very intimidating and scary for me, you know, and I really didn't share about it too much in meetings, you know, and I just kept listening. I was very reserved, you know, and I would identify and hear people talking about how they did it. And I realized, at least for me, as an Al-Anon member, I needed to sever the relationship with myself just a little bit before I could expose myself to another person. So it took me a while. It took me a while, and I realized over the years that, you know what, I might not be the only person that thinks that way. So when I started, you know, looking at some of our, you know, rich conference-approved literature, and I picked up how Al-Anon works, and because I'm trying to understand this sponsorship process, because I just wasn't getting it, you know. And most of it, I wasn't getting it because I didn't feel worthy that someone would be willing to be my sponsor, you know. And then all of those attitudes that comes with it, you know, like, yeah, I've got too much for somebody else to be able to handle this, you know. Oh, is someone going to be able to help me? Oh, I can't help myself. How can somebody else do it? So when I saw the chapter in How Al-Anon Works on breaking our isolation, well, lo and behold, that's where all of the information is about sponsorship. You know, and I looked at it again this morning just as a reminder, you know, because this is a program of repetition, at least for this Al-Anon member, and I need to be constantly reminded that, you know, I am so overqualified for this seat in our meetings, you know, and I have to keep coming back, because the more I do, the more I learn about myself, and my relationship with my higher power, and my sponsor was the person that was the conduit for that. So the resources for me has always been, you know, our literature, and I'm so grateful for that, as well as, you know, all of the members that are in the Al-Anon meetings that share about their own trials and tribulations about sponsorship and finding somebody. How do I do it? And when? How do I know I'm ready, you know? And it's funny because, you know, today I see some people coming into Al-Anon for the very first time, and they're at their first or second meeting, and they're like, oh, I'm ready to find my sponsor and work on all these steps and do all these things and, you know, and get it, you know. And I have to laugh to myself because, you know, I kind of thought a little bit like that too, but by the same token, I knew, whoa, Nellie, there is no way I'm ever really going to get it all at once. You know, and it does take time, and I have to give time, because giving time today is about, you know, living in the solution and not living in the problem. So when I finally got to that point where I was able to, you know, relate to someone, You know, and it's funny, you know, my higher power has a wonderful way of leading me and guiding me exactly where I need to go. Because I kept finding myself in meetings and hearing this one particular person who, you know, her story was just so much like my own. You know, she had a spouse in recovery. You know, she started in Al-Anon after her spouse started in AA. She had two boys that, you know, she was raising using the principles of this program. You know, would bribe her boys to go to Alateen meetings, you know. And these are all of the things that I was, like, just starting to do. So it seemed like everywhere I went, I was hearing this particular person. And I didn't even realize it, but she lived, like, three blocks from where I was living at the time. So I finally got up the courage, the nerve, to ask her to be my sponsor. And she accepted, and we both sat there in the car crying, because, you know, my thing was getting up the courage to ask, and her thing was waiting for me to ask her, because she knew that she was the one for me, and I knew that I was the one for her. You know, so this was the person that I was able to do, you know, my fourth step and to work through the steps, and she was the person that showed me how to do all of these things that are part of these questions. You know, how much time do I have to commit? You know, it's about, we're going to learn as we go. And we have to, you know, be able to be respectful because, you know, she had a full-time job. I had a full-time job. She had, by then her children were, you know, late teens and in their 20s. Mine were just coming up and all of those things. But we just did it as best we could. You know, and she was honest with me, and she told me if there were times that she wasn't available, she says, you know what it's about not being available for you or not? It's about if you need something, you call, be responsible, and ask for what it is you need. If you're just calling to check in and say, hey, it's just me, I'm calling to check in, that's fine. But if you need something, you need to tell me, because I can't figure it out for you if you don't tell me. You know, and then we can try to do things and figure them out together, and that's exactly how we did it. You know, she never told me what to do or when to do or why to do, but she shared with me how she did it. And it was up to me to take what I liked and leave the rest. And I was so grateful for that, because the last thing I wanted was someone else telling me what to do and how to do it and why to do it and when to do it, because that's how I lived my whole life before coming into Al-Anon. I didn't want and think a sponsor had that type of authority, you know. So that relationship taught me about that. You know, we were able to, you know, meet sometimes over a meal, sometimes after a meeting, you know. And again, all of these foundations that I needed in order for one day for me to be able to be a sponsor instead of just simply a sponsee. And it took time, you know, and working through, at that time, the only kind of real workbook we had was the original Blueprint for Progress. And I remember looking at that book the very first time and going, oh, I don't want to answer those questions. Those questions are scary. And you know, we went through every one of those questions. And by the time we were done, it was literally, it took 9 months. You know, of just meeting and talking and answering questions. And I said, huh, look at that. It took us 9 months. You know, that's how long it takes to have a baby. You know, and it was like I was reborn. You know, and that's how it felt. And it was like the first time that I started feeling really my feelings and understanding what it was that was going on in my life that was directly related to the family disease of alcoholism. You know, and to have a real better understanding of myself and what I needed to do to practice these principles and to apply these Al-Anon principles in my life, not just for me personally, but, you know, working on my relationships with my family members, my immediate family, my children, you know, the relationship I had with my parents, because, of course, none of those people, other than my husband, we're in recovery, and of course I couldn't really consider my children in recovery, even though my thinking was that as an Al-Anon member, they were going to get this by osmosis and that they were not affected by the family disease of alcoholism. So, you know, I had a lot of rethinking that I needed to do as being a sponsee. And then, lo and behold, someone asked me to be their sponsor. And I was almost taken aback. I didn't expect it at all. I kind of thought the person that asked me to be their sponsor already had a sponsor, but never had a sponsor. You know, and I had to go back to, well, you know, this is how my sponsor modeled it for me. And I just did with that person what my sponsor modeled for me. You know, and it's no different how anything works in this Al-Anon program. You know, we can't give it away if we don't have it. So it was an interesting process. And by then we had the big blueprint for progress that was out and the different kinds of questions that were in there. You know, and I said the same thing to this person. You know what? There's no beginning, middle, and end. This is a process because recovery is a process. It's a journey. It's not a destination. It's something that we're never going to finish doing. We're constantly going to be understanding things about ourselves as we grow. You know, and when you get to a point where you feel that, you know, we feel we've gone as far as we can go, then you know what? You move on to the next step of your life. It's not anything that I take personal because I can't own this as a relationship. You know, it's not that kind of a thing. And it's been interesting to see how the sponsor-sponsee relationship has really helped in my relationships with others, family members, coworkers, colleagues, whatever the case may be. You know, because even in those situations, I don't necessarily tell people what to do or how to do it. You know, even as a supervisor or an administrator, you know, I try to do things by modeling behavior, by making suggestions. You know, you might want to try this. You know what? Some people just don't want to try it. Some people are very comfortable stuck in whatever they're stuck in, and that's okay. I don't have to be stuck. You know, and that's what this relationship taught me. It taught me to listen. It taught me to think. It taught me to be careful about how I say things. Because I wouldn't want anything to be misconstrued as a directive or a judgment, because that's how I lived my whole life, you know. And it's different for each person, but I have found that what is the common bond is the principles of our Al-Anon program, and that's what that you know. It always brings me right back to that. And you know what? Just because I'm a sponsor, I'm not any better than anybody else. Just because I'm a sponsee, it doesn't mean I'm less than, because this is a fellowship of equals. And I have to be able to really abide by that if I'm going to take on that responsibility of being a sponsor. Because it is a service responsibility. In addition to service in various positions and being a trusted servant within Al-Anon, being a sponsor is also a service position. And I have to be mindful that everything Al-Anon is the same in that relationship as when I do service. You know, when I perform service at the local or the area level, my whole AWSC committee is my service sponsor. You know, these are my resources. These are my go-to people. You know, first coming out and getting involved in service, I didn't know what all of these terms meant. Like, what is a guideline? What is a task force? What is a thought force? And why do we have to do it like this? And why can't we use things like Robert's Rules of Order? You know, because that's, you know, I brought to Al-Anon what I thought I knew, not understanding that Al-Anon has its own way of right-sizing itself. It has its own way of conducting various activities and conducting business. You know, and it's the Al-Anon way of conducting business that has made such a real big difference in my life. So, as a sponsor, you know, I utilize my resources. I can't be a sponsor if I don't go to meetings. I can't be a sponsor and be fair as a sponsor if I'm talking to a sponsee who is not going to meetings. So that's really, if there's one ground rule, that's it. You know, you have to go to meetings if you want me to sponsor you, because, you know, I can't give you my program of recovery. And I've run into a number of people that want to try to do it that way. And I'll say, you know what? I'll be the first one to say to put the stop on a sponsor-sponsee relationship and say, you know what, I really think and I strongly suggest that you just go to meetings for a while and get this program under your feet a little bit, you know, and into your heart a little bit, you know, and then you can figure out how you want to work the steps and how you want to do your fourth step, you know, and when that time comes, I'm sure your higher power is going to put the right person in your path that's going to help you do that, the same way that that happened for me. Because of this family disease of alcoholism, I have to be real careful because I can get lost sometimes, you know, in relationships with other Al-Anon members or even get lost in, you know, doing service and not keeping that balance. So I have learned how to establish boundaries in the sponsor-sponsee relationship, and I'm so appreciative of that. And again, it's because my sponsor modeled that for me. If she wasn't available to talk for whatever reason, you know, she would say, I'm not available. She says, you know, she also encouraged me, you know, try calling other people. You know, I'm not the only person that you can talk to. There are other people in our fellowship that you can talk to, and you need to broaden that network so that you don't ever feel that, you know, you can't handle a situation because I'm not here to talk to you. And I have shared that same kind of thing with sponsees as well. So, you know, the only thing that I don't do as a sponsor is I don't tell anybody what to do. I don't tell anybody how to work their program other than you just have to go to meetings. And when we can get together, if we can get together, it's nice to meet face-to-face over a cup of coffee, sometimes after a meeting, whatever the case may be. If we can't, that's okay. We can always meet on the phone. We can always talk, you know. Or if you feel comfortable sending me a text message, hey, are you available to talk later? You know, I want to, you know, I'm going through something because that's also what I do with my sponsor. You know, I usually, you know, if I'm going to take the risk of having that first meeting, it's because I already feel it in my heart and in my spirit that it's a match. And it's, you know, and I know it's a match based on how I identify with somebody as they share in the meeting, because that's where we're always going to hear each other. And it's an amazing thing to see other people connect the dots, right? You know, in a meeting when we're talking about a particular topic and, you know, and then being able to talk afterwards and chat more and it's just a beautiful thing to see because it makes me realize that, you know, I had to realize for myself, oh, these are the dots. They're connecting. Oh, this is how I understand what spirituality means. Oh, this is what I understand what meditation is now. It's not that I have to sit there and go, in silence. Meditation is what I make it to be. You know, and for me, meditation is just making that conscious connection to my higher power. You know, in any way, shape, or form, whether it's reading a piece of Al-Anon literature, reading my page of the day, you know, whatever it is I need to do. And I encourage my sponsees to do the exact same thing. You know, we have to get into the literature. Yes, there's lots of self-help literature out there, and that's all well and good, but, you know, I can't, there's a phrase that, you know, I've said for many years, you can't mix the milk with the magnesia. You know, I have to stick to Al-Anon because otherwise I get confused by bringing all of this outside stuff in. You know, there's all different kinds of things that can help me in my recovery and in my journey in recovery, but I find that what helps me the most is just reading Al-Anon literature, you know. And when I can, going to open AA meetings, you know, because it's important for me to understand, you know, what the alcoholic goes through as well. And I encourage my sponsees to do the same thing, whether it's going to maybe an anniversary meeting or whatever the case may be, or making sure you come to an Al-Anon anniversary meeting where we're going to have Al-Anon, Alateen, AA speakers so that we can understand what it's like, because that's really where it helped me understand the most that, wow, the only difference between me and the alcoholic is they have a compulsion to drink, and my compulsion is the alcohol. You know, and what they're doing, and why they're doing it, and when they're doing it, and when are they going to stop, and how come, and, you know, if only. So I have to constantly, you know, you know, be on my program about that, because I can so get easily sucked into all of those isms and behaviors. So that relationship with having that confidential, you know, truly private, you know, special relationship sponsor to sponsee is something that is so, it became so pivotal in my recovery, because it helped me, as it talks about in that chapter 7 in how Al-Anon works, about breaking that isolation, you know, and knowing that other people are going through similar things just like me, and that I am still going through things just like you, you know, as the sponsor to the sponsee. So it's a wonderful opportunity for my own personal growth and for my own personal recovery. I'm grateful that I can share that with another person who is struggling and trying to, you know, make the best life that they can for themselves, having been affected by this family disease of alcoholism, and to see them to be able to pay it forward. You know, and to really practice this whole concept of, you know, there's no rules here. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. You know, it's about just sometimes just, you know, going feet first and saying, okay, I'm ready. You know, and once I'm ready, you know, my teachers appear. And all of my teachers are right here on this screen. So, you know, I want to thank you all for being here, for the roles that you play in your sponsor and sponsee relationships, and your commitment to Al-Anon and our program. So that's it for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sue, for sharing with us today, for being here. Thank you to our speakers for sharing. We will now close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.